your podcast. So I'm Sim, your host, and today we're going to be talking about trauma and something very different than what we usually hear. So we had a mental health episode where we talked about relationships in mental health, but this is kind of be like, it's going to be like psychology, but plus astrology. So I'm really excited and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. So before we start the episode, I just want to let you guys know that there's a Seriously Instagram as well. It's Seriously Official. So in the link tree in the bio, there's the links to all the Seriously socials like the TikTok, the YouTube, and there's a Ko-fi as well. If you want to donate any money to me so that I can create more content for you guys. And yeah, so other than that, we'll just get started with the episode. So today I'm joined with...
Jeremy! Hi Sim, thanks so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. I'm very nervous, guys. This episode scares me a little bit. Okay, so Jeremy, what do you do?
Yeah, so thanks for having me. So my name is Jeremy, I'm actually a purpose coach. And what I do is I help heart-centered individuals and service providers to really reconnect their purpose by helping them to heal from their trauma. And cool fact, I think as you mentioned, one of the modalities that I actually use in my practice is psychological astrology.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I never even knew that you could pair the two together actually. I always thought astrology was just astrology and psychology was just psychology, but this is really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I guess the main question everybody will have is probably so what is psychological astrology?
Okay, so I think let's break it down. I think let's first of all try to understand what astrology is, then I'll explain the psychological aspect of things. So astrology primarily is just looking at the celestial activities, the celestial bodies, and the way that they move in the skies and how they correlate back to life on earth. So what that essentially means to me, it's a series of data correlation. So I'm just tracking patterns in the sky and then making findings on Earth. So the psychological aspect of things comes about when we try to understand human behavior, human patterns, or human archetypes, through the reference using their natal birth chart. And one of the ways that we do that is by casting the chart first, So first of all, we need the birth time, the birth location, and this chart when it's casted, it's very, very complex because when you look at it, it's all lines and...
I've seen it.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah. It's very complicated to read.
The astrologer will be able to in a way decode and understand what this patterns actually look like and how it informs certain behaviors that we have in our lives.
So the patterns kind of help you in a sense that you can approach the psychological aspect through looking through the charts line.
So I think the way I look at it is how we look at a chart. So there's many ways of looking at something, right? Okay. So I think by the term psychological astrology just means I'm looking at the patterns, but from a manner that informs, what's the psychology behind why we do what we do.
Okay, that makes sense. So is there a process to it? Because I know that you briefly mentioned to me there's something called parts work.
Parts work,
So how does a typical session with a client go?
Okay, very good question. So parts work is something that I brought. It's a practice, a modality. So the actual practice is called Internal Family Systems, or IFS. Okay. It's something founded by a guy called Richard Schwartz. So it's a practice that I've been very fascinated by because, at the heart of it, I'll just give a brief summary. At the heart of it, the idea here is that the self, the ego, the consciousness is not a single unitary mind. It's made up of different parts of us. So you know how sometimes we feel like a part of me feels like...
Is it the ID, super ID, ego thing?
No, that's Freud. So that's Freud. What I'm referring to is more of a clinical practice that I don't think is very practiced in Singapore, but it's more so in the US. So the idea here is that we all have different parts that can come to conflict with each other. And by speaking directly to these parts, we can sort of locate and identify where these parts actually originated from and how they blocked.
Okay. So in a typical session, so you will read the chart and then you will figure out where's the blockage and then...
Yeah, in a way. So how it starts usually is I like clients to give me a question first. And the reason why is because the chart is so broad, right? For me, what I need is a question to focus on so that I have a lens through which to interpret the chart. And it helps me to make sure that I'm on track to answer the client's questions.
So the questions, can it be something very vague? Why is my life like this? Or must it be a specific question?
Okay. Good question. I think for me personally, the more specific your question, the more specific your answers that you'll get. It makes sense. So the more broader your question is, of course, it gives me room to play around and to find my way through. But I think the best answers usually come from when you give a really specific answer. The best answer comes when you give a very specific question.
Yeah. Okay, so then after the question is given, and it helps you to find like a good starting place in a sense.
Yes, correct. Okay. So once the question is given, so it helps me to identify, okay, where in the chart should I start looking at to uncover, you know, certain attitudes, patterns or behaviors that are affecting the situation.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So like usually, right, this is just a personal question that I have, lah, but for the clients that you have, right, like do they come with you like with like something in mind already, or is it like, have you ever had a case where they don't even know why they're there? Yes. They come in to find you for answers to something they don't even know.
It's often the case. I think a lot of people, they come to me because obviously they feel lost.
They feel
lost. They hope that, you know, like spirituality of some sorts or these modalities can give them the answers that they might not have access to. So to answer your question, yes. But I think it is my role then to steer them towards clarity. Okay. Right. And obviously the chart is like a map to me. Right, helping them to give us clues to see why is it that you're lost.
So how does the whole process of the parts work go about then? Like, do you like read the chart and then like ask them questions, or like how does it like flow?
Okay, So if you think of it as a process, right, the first part is always to identify why are you stuck, why are you stuck, right? So I think astrology will fulfill that part. It gives me like that, again, that patterns to understand and put it into words, right? Then the second part is, okay, once I identify, right, how do I resolve it for you? I think that's where parts work comes into play, right? And linking again to astrology, right? Like there will be certain clues that tells me, okay, there's a part of you here that's feeling stuck, that's feeling, you know, unexpressed, that's being triggered, right? Then conducting the parts work session then allows me to help you to meet those parts of you that maybe has been, you've never known before, it exists inside of you.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a couple of videos on your Instagram where you actually did like sessions with people that you posted. It actually sounds very, I watched one of them and it was actually very, very intense. Like the girl was crying. Cannot remember what was it about because I was watching a few. I might mix them up together. Okay. But I remember there was one, the girl was crying and then you were like, it's okay, feel, let yourself feel. Like I want you to like get in touch with like your emotions. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, it's really, it sounds like even from like a third person, it's like it's very, very deep.
Yeah, for sure. So you're right to say, I think this work is very, very deep. And oftentimes the parts that we meet or I get them to connect with are these, are the parts of them that they have repressed all this while. So the idea here is that why do they repress it, right? Because it feels safer that it, maybe they've been conditioned to think of a certain way, for example. Right. So I think the video that you're making reference to, in this case, she, if I remember correctly, you know, she felt as though she wants to express herself, but she felt as though, you know, if I were to express myself, I'll be judged in a certain way. Right. So then the question is, you know, what parts of her is she wanting to express but is afraid and she has repressed it? So I'll get her to meet that part of her to see what this part has to speak to her about. Yeah, and obviously it's scary because you've been pushing it away for so long.
Okay. The next question that I have for you is more like on the personal side. So it's more like about how do you actually get started and decide that this is the profession that you want to get into?
Right, okay. So I think for me, growing up, I've always been fascinated by human behavior, the way we think and why we make the choices that we do, right? And I've always been interested in like personality tests and profiling tests, MBTIs, Enneagram, you know, DISCE. But I think like I met my mentor, Mei Sim, right, from Selfstrology.
Yes, who I found before. Yeah. I actually stumbled upon her Instagram before.
Yeah, so she was that first person that actually, you know, showed me how, like, what astrology could really do, like really to understand somebody so well, right? And I think when I apprenticed under her, right, so this was when I was, what, 24, 25, so I apprenticed under her for 2 years. That was when I realized that, okay, this is what I really want to do. Like, I could really see, like, the transformation that I could provide for people as well. And it was when I studied astrology that helped me to understand my own personal patterns as well. Yeah, so, for example, as I was growing up, right, like, I realized that it has always been about trying to prove myself to authority figures. And it was because deep down, I felt as though, you know, I couldn't see myself. I didn't know who I was. And, like, I just wanted somebody in authority to validate me. So, when I think back about it, right, astrology allowed me to understand that it was because that I had a very absent father as I was growing up. Not that he isn't like around, he's around, it's just that he doesn't really say much, he doesn't talk much. So I always grew up feeling as though I never had that father figure or like that like person to validate me in a way. So I think that's when I realized that because I never had an authority figure, I was out there constantly searching for an external authority figure to validate me, to feel enough. And I was caught in this whole loop of, you know, trying to prove myself, man. I done like like, even I remember, like, even talking about this now, I remember, like, when I was in primary school, right, like, there was a prefect next to me, and I was thinking, like, oh, okay, like, prefects are the ones who are, like, authority figures, yeah. And I had to challenge their authority.
Okay.
Because, like, to me, I wanted to feel like, okay, if, like, they are the ones being recognized, if I could overpower them, that meant that I was somebody to be recognized, to be seen as well.
Okay, I think I understand.
Yeah. And even when you understand your patterns, you will start to see how it plays out. So even my earliest relationships, right, it was always whenever my partners, right, were doing better than me, they were getting more attention and recognition than me, it triggered me.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was when I started to understand, okay, this is where, you know, the source of it all stems from, right? My absent father figure. So the craziest thing is, you know, like, like, part of my healing journey came about when I realized all this, and I was like, okay, I want to deal with this. Like, how do I go about this? So, I mean, I don't know what came over me, but one day I just walked up to my father. So imagine this, right? Like, we've never really been speaking for so many years, never had a proper conversation. And I remember this one, I think it was morning, and he was like, because he's a taxi driver, so he was on his way to work, and I was just like, hey, Dad, can I have like 10 minutes of a time? And I was like shaking, and I was so nervous. And I was just like, yeah, what do you want? And I just shared with him, like, everything just, you know, I was shaking, and I was just like, it just came forth. And I shared with him how all these years I just felt as though I never had a father figure. I just felt he was irresponsible. I felt he wasn't present. And I just felt as though, like, why was there so much bitterness and resentment towards him? And at the end of it, I realized that when I looked at him, I realized also that, you know, he never had a father figure of his own. And it was my expectation of him to be somebody that he never even knew how to be in the first place.
Yeah.
And that was when it really hit me, like, how trauma, right, is intergenerational. And when I understood that whole pattern dynamic, how it was passed on from generation to generation, that was when I started to view the entire situation from a more objective perspective. And obviously, there's a lot more compassion, right? And I remember telling him this, like, hey, Dad, like, I know, you know, like, it's going to be, like, I told him that, you know what, from today onwards, I'm going to become the father figure that I always wanted for myself but never had. And I'm doing this for the people that I love as well. And when I said that, the words literally came out of my mouth, right, that was when I realized, whoa.
It's like a breakthrough. Yeah, even like listening to it, shift. It feels like a breakthrough.
A shift, yeah. I mean, just being able to articulate it and speak it in front of my dad.
That's really scary. Like, I don't think that most people would do that, because it sounds really, really scary. Yeah. Because it's like your dad is like someone, like, your parents are like people that you have to like respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, not have to lah, but it's like most people want to respect their parents and like not want to like confront them, that kind of thing. And I think it's a very Asian thing also to repress things rather than like voice it out. And I'm dealing with it too lah. I think most people do. But you have issues with your parents and you don't really say. So like when you told me that you actually just went up to your dad and like voiced everything out, I think that's like so brave. And I don't think that most people could like handle doing it. It's like so scary.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask me like what led me to do it, honestly, I don't know. I think on hindsight now, I think it's the fact that I didn't want to live in my own like trauma, my own patterns anymore.
I mean, yeah, so you just didn't want to be stuck.
Yeah, I didn't want to stop there. And I realized that like the question that really popped up to me is, oh, if I don't resolve this, am I going to pass it on to my future?
Yeah,
that was that
actually,
one thing that kept
true.
Me going as well.
I was talking to like one of my friends who like studies early childhood, right? And she was telling me how like actually when she was learning like child psychology and everything, like a lot of like trauma comes from your parents because they don't deal with their own trauma and it gets passed down, which is the intergenerational thing now makes sense too, because it's like nothing fixed, nothing healed. And then she was saying how like she doesn't want to be a mom unless she can like fix her own trauma, because she doesn't want to like mess any new life form up. And I was like thinking about it, and I think like I agree with her in a sense. Because like I wouldn't want to put like my future kids through what I'm dealing with now. So it makes sense actually a lot.
I mean to add on to that, I think from our parents' generation, you know, if we think about it from a more objective point of view, they never had the resources, the
of
access
course,
that
yeah,
we do
exactly.
have, right? So I think the onus is actually more on us. It's available, help and support is available. And I think also like it's more important to consider the larger context that we grew up in. Like in their context, it was like, I mean, it was the Lee Kuan Yew era, right? It was all about work. And I think we are so much more privileged and blessed, right? To think about like purpose, to talk about like freedom and travel.
I think
we are in a space where, you know, like even mental wellness, mental health, you know, this is a conversation that's on trend right now. Right. And I think this is why we really need to be the ones to become like take responsibility for us and to say like, hey, this is a pattern that I've been sucked in. I know it didn't start with me, but it can end with me.
I think that's very well said. So thank you for sharing on like your personal journey. So I think another question that people would have, right, is like, what's the like the difference between this and like traditional forms of psychology, like therapy, counseling, and all the other stuff? Because for therapy, there's also like psychotherapy, CBT. Yeah. There's like a lot of different versions, and then this is like, is this another one or is this like completely separate?
Okay, good question. So I can't speak for sure because, to be honest, like to be completely upfront, I've never been into therapy.
Okay.
What I've got, however, were accounts from therapy that you know, my clients or friends that I've asked share with me as well. Okay, so I want to put it forth and say, right, that I'm not discrediting, you know, like therapy or the medical institutionalized, but I think there are certain things that cannot be taught in schools.
Yeah.
And that boils back down to like emotional, like intuition, not intuition, but like the being able to empathize, to listen. If you think about it, right, like when it comes to counseling, when it comes to therapy, right, you need to be able to hold that space. And it all starts with, are you creating enough safety, right, for a person to be completely transparent and open with you? And it starts with you first. Are you safe and transparent yourself?
Yeah.
Right, with yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it will show. Right. Back to your question. So I think, is this modality as alternative? I would consider it to be an alternative because obviously it's not recognized as part of the practice. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's a right or wrong. It's like many roads can lead you home, right? I think what's most important is, do you resonate? Do you find results in a particular course or direction or modality?
Yeah, actually thinking about it, like this is the more spiritual side of things. Because I know I have friends who don't believe in like astrology and accounting, and I completely respect that, because like I can't force opinions on them, and I have to respect everybody's opinions. But to me, I've always been like into astrology. Like I'm not like the super ons kind. Like every day I check like Gemini. I want to check what like my readings are and everything. Not like that. But like sometimes I'm like, okay, I want to see this, because like, and I do believe that because I'm a Gemini, right, I act a certain way. Like a lot of people say the two-faced thing, right? But like I see it as like I have dual personalities.
Yes.
And my boyfriend is a Gemini too.
Oh, that's so
and
cool.
I actually think that's why we vibe, because we also both understand that we both have two faces and that kind of thing. And like, I don't know if he's into astrology. I don't think so, but he respects that, like, I'm more into it. Like the, you know, every time Mercury is in retrograde, I take it very seriously, because I see something's off in my life.
Yeah.
But he's like, I think I just like overreacting and all that. And I'm like, I mean, that's fine, like, because you don't believe in it, but I do. Like, my laptop actually died during one of the Mercury retrogrades. And it said like, your technology might like fail you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So to me, like, spirituality is like, I would say getting more personal to me.
Yeah, okay.
And also, it's more mainstream also. So
I think I'll just add on to that shortly. So I think, like, for me, spirituality is one thing. Like, my personal take is, how can it be applied to our real world? So I mean, if the practice of astrology, I mean, sure, you know, if you ask me, to be honest, do I really 100% believe in it? I think I still have my doubts. It's like crisis of faith. You're practicing it, but like sometimes I'm like questioning it. Hey, really true or not? You know. I think my main lens that I use when it comes to anything, right, is, it's not whether or not it's accurate. It's how useful can it be? How well can I apply this to reach a certain result or outcome? Yeah, so that's the like lens through which I'm looking at astrology. I'm not carrying... Okay, like, there is something called predictive astrology, which is something I used to do. So that's
is
where,
it like the tarot card stuff?
No. So predictive astrology is where... Okay, so you know your natal chart, right? So that is you.
Yeah.
So even as we speak, the planets are constantly moving.
Oh.
So when certain life experiences happen, right, a huge breakup, you know, like some, you lose your job, like huge career switch, usually you can track it through the planetary transits. But what I want, I used to do that, but I realized that I didn't want to focus on predictive astrology as part of my practice. Huge reason is because I realized that it doesn't matter what happens around you if your internal side is secure and safe. Yeah, so I want to focus on you. I don't care what's happening around you. Like, sure, like, things might be bad, but what I want to do, help you to do, is to highlight, you know, what these instances are revealing to you that is left unhealed, and you need to deal with it.
Okay, yeah. So you're more focused on, like, the internal journey of, like, the human being kind of thing. Okay. So, I guess my next question, which is something that we already talked about, like, briefly already, because you mentioned your own personal journey, was that you realized that through your mentor... that you were also struggling with some stuff, and then you got like some realization that you are like blocked like by your own like trauma, your own triggers and stuff like that. So I guess my next question would be like, what are like the main areas that you usually like try to target in like your sessions with your clients?
Good question. Honestly speaking, I don't think there's a main area per se, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's dealing very, very specific you know, issues per se. And like the extent of the issue could be different from each person's nervous system or like each person's frame of reference as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think there is something specific that I say, but I can give you a range. So most of the times people come to me with regards to life purpose, with regards to relationships, with regards to career. I think these are the three main things that I focus on. Yeah. And one thing to add on is, I think what I'm starting to realize in the whole trend of things, right, is that the most important relationship you need to have is the one you have with yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's going to reflect in terms of your attachment, your relationship with your, in your personal relationships, your career, or the work that you do as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that like you shared like the areas that you usually focus on, right, do you have like an example of like, or a story to share about like one of your clients and like how you actually help them do something?
Okay, so maybe I'll share my own like personal story about my transformation first, then I can share my class. So you guys have like a context between two different people as well. So for me, as I shared earlier, right, like growing up, I never had an absent father figure. So part of my journey, or part of my healing journey, was learning how to become the father figure that, or mentor that I always wanted for myself, but never had. And when I realized that, you know, after that conversation which I mentioned, right, my whole life shifted. Like the way I started to look at people changed as well. And that was when I realized that, you know, doing this work or coming full time to this coaching practice, right, a lot of my clients never had like the parental figures that they always wanted as well. And I became that validating figure for them, creating that space for them to feel seen in a way that they never felt seen before. And it was in that co-regulation where they start to realize that, oh, like, you know, they find their safety and trust in me, and they're able to see themselves. They start to build trust in themselves, right? So I think that's part of the journey for me. To give you another example, so one of my clients, so she grew up feeling as though She's a very creative person, really, really very creative person. But she grew up feeling as though she couldn't express her creativity openly. Reason being is because she felt like whenever she expressed, she would eclipse the people around her, like her sisters, you know, like her siblings. And she felt really, really bad, right? So there's a part of her that she started to repress, that creativity part. It's like, it wants to come out, but it's like, oh shit, like, I better stop myself from doing so. So through the work, right, what we started to understand was that it was when she expressed herself creatively, right, that was when she was creating communities as well. Because right now, last I heard, she's based in Australia right now, and she's facilitating art classes. And when she really expresses herself, right, she's not eclipsing anybody. Instead, she's empowering more people to express themselves creatively as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say here is that oftentimes, you know, the way to heal your trauma is to tap your purpose. And at the end of the day, it's always your mess is your message. Because you know how painful something is. That's why you want to invest so much time and energy and effort, right? And you're so cognizant, and you're able to recognize how people are going through the same things that you're going through.
Okay.
Right? So you're able to help them in your journey. But first of all, you need to do the work yourself first. Yeah.
Okay. That actually makes a lot of sense. Like, it's like opening up a lot of light bulbs in my head.
Mm.
Like about how you said like your mess is like your...
Message.
Yeah. Okay, so like you mentioned like the trauma thing, right? I think like there's something that I noticed from like, even from the previous time I talked to you, is that how like most people have like their own set of things to work on first, and that's like the trauma, the triggers, everything.
Yeah.
And then they have to work through that to get to their purpose, to be able to empathize with others, help others.
Mm.
But first you have to help yourself.
Mm.
And I think for me, right, I definitely have like my own set of trauma. So like, I think it's fair to say everybody does.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody does. Whether it's small or big, everybody does. Mm. And I did notice it like impacting my life also. So I felt like trauma from like trust issues with people. Like for example, like if I get hurt in the past, right, and I'm like, okay, so maybe I don't want to trust anybody anymore, because it's like when you get hurt so many times and then you're just like very closed up, and then it's like you kind of start to be very cynical of the world around you and think that like everybody's against you, and it's better to be like keep everything to yourself and then just like, so that I won't get hurt again, lah. So that's one of it. And then maybe another one is probably like stuff with like abandonment.
Yeah.
So like I used to like have stuff with like my family and like even like my friends leaving me and stuff like that. So it's like stuff with abandonment that made me like kind of overcompensate in my life.
Mm.
So like I noticed this trend where I tend to like kind of like have to prove myself more because I'm scared that like I'm not enough in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So like, the abandonment kind of made me feel like, oh, I'm the problem kind of thing. Mm. So that's like another trauma that I had to deal with that I noticed does impact the relationships around me and the way I approach life also and the person I am. And I think it's fair to say also that like the whole like, your mess is your message is kind of like why I feel very like strongly about this podcast is because also like I grew up not having people to help me with. Like, my family is quite open-minded, but they're also not, like, the people who I'm going to be like, oh, I have relationship problems, talk to me, this kind of thing. And, like, for my friends, I usually, because I'm the more open one.
Yeah.
So I used to be, like, the one helping other people, but I realized that there's no one helping me. And I also don't really know how to help myself, but I can give, like, advice to people, advice in, like, air quotes, because I don't really know, like, if it works. Mm. But, like, apparently people felt safe, like, coming to me, lah. So I think maybe that's why also, like, I, like, felt like the podcast would be good because I want to, like, help other people also in my own way, or, like, create a safe space for others to turn to and to be, like, feel like they can have conversations without being judged kind of thing. Because, like, I grew up, like, always being fearful, always being scared to be judged, always thinking I'm not enough kind of thing. So that's, like, a very condensed version on the spot. I'm trying to think, like, what's my trauma kind of thing.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I have more, but, like, off the bat, I think those are, like, I don't know. I don't know if my boyfriend will agree, but I think those are, like, the main ones. The main ones. Yeah, I think those are, like, the main ones that even he can see from our relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I guess maybe, do you have, like, any, like, advice for people who are, like, dealing with these kind of things?
I think first things first, I think seek help if it's necessary, because sometimes we can't see beyond our trauma lens, right? Because when we're stuck in trauma, right, the way that we operate is very self-preservative. And we can't see beyond it. It's very hard. I mean, maybe you can see it, but it just doesn't feel safe enough to step there. So I think this is where finding somebody whom you trust, who can help you to, you know, paint another perspective or to reframe certain beliefs that you might have about stuff. But most importantly is being able to support you and guide you as you slowly work towards, like in this case, if it's trust issues, right, that you're dealing with, you need to find somebody that you can practice trust with so that you can start trusting yourself first and then therefore allowing you to practice trust with the people around you in your life as well. Yeah, so I think it's a gradual process. The way I think about how to heal like trauma, right, it starts on a four-step framework that I use. So the first one is, again, identify. If you don't know what the problem is, you cannot ever solve it. So you need to identify what is the real root cause, right, the memory or the actual trauma that you're so attached to that's causing you to put up your walls, your defensive mechanisms, the patterns to play out, number one. So once you identify it, we go to step number two. Step number two is release the attachment to that. So many ways to do it, right? The way I do it is through parts work. So like I think I briefly mentioned what it looks like. So it's going back to the part of you that you've repressed or is traumatized, and to speak directly into those parts, to let them hear the words that they've always needed to hear from you, yourself, okay? Step number three, so once you release the emotional attachment to the past incident or root cause incidents, what's next? Because it's a void. So you need to connect to something greater. So for me, I use purpose. If I can connect you and shift your focus from trauma to purpose, right, that's where you know where you're headed towards, right? And number four, to put this into practice, I need to help you to create avenues for you to express your purpose continuously. Otherwise, if your environment doesn't allow you to give you that place to thrive, right, it's so easy for you to slip back into your past.
So like the story you share about the creativity, so you had to like try to help her to like, first of all, get over her trauma of like feeling like she's eclipsing other people, then also help her to find purpose and then more avenues so that she can sustain it.
Exactly. And doing so allows her to create evidence that it's safe for me to express myself.
Actually, like my question also is like how, like, because I think people downplay trauma a lot and repress it, right? So like actually like, would you mind like elaborating on how trauma can actually impact your relationships, your family, your friends, your life even?
Okay, I think classic example, let's use trust issues since you brought it up. I think a lot of my clients come in having trust issues as well. So first of all, you need to understand what's causing these trust issues. But for a lot of people, it's going to be different. For example, somebody betrayed you, right?
Yes.
I have another client. I'll give you another example. So another client here who a mom can be classified as a narcissist. Right. Growing up, you know, my client has always felt as though she had to surrender or give up parts of herself to please her mom. Right. And as a result, like her mom always like, oh, if you do this for me, right, then I promise you that you will get this instead. But it was never ever fulfilled.
Okay.
So my client always grew up feeling as though like people that she gives herself to or people that she trusts will always disappoint her. Okay. And that made her very avoidant in her relationships.
Okay.
Because it resembles that similar pattern that she grew up experiencing with somebody close to her, the attachment. So this is one of the ways where our fears, right, when we are stuck in our trauma, is we project it onto our present environment or our relationships.
Oh yeah, the projecting.
Yeah, so that's where we start to see them as a threat, even though the threat doesn't really exist. Yeah, so that's one of the ways that could play out as well. Yeah, I mean, abandonment issues is also another classic one, right? Constantly feeling as though, if people don't reply my message, right? Does it mean that, is it my fault? Did I do something wrong, right? Or
yeah.
feeling as though, like, if somebody left, right? And you start to personalize it, right? Is it me? Is it my fault? Like, but they fail to realize that people can leave for many different reasons.
Yeah, it has
nothing to do with that. It might not have anything to do with that. But why do we start to personalize it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we gotta like go back into the past to understand the context behind anything, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to pathologize and say you got trust issues, right? Yeah. And we see it as a problem, but it's not. If we expand it, right, and we understand why, the question I always am drawn to is to understand why do people have trust issues? Like instead of labeling the behavior, right, I want to understand the context behind the behavior. Yeah, and I think that's a very important conversation to have. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, lah. Like, I always talk to my friends about like a lot of different kind of topics, and like something that we realize is how sometimes people project their insecurities onto new relationships, new people, that kind of thing. Like a classic example is I was talking to one of my friends that day, and she was saying how she feels very insecure if her boyfriend looks at other girls' photos on Instagram, and then doesn't like when he follows like models, this kind of things. Yeah. And then she asked me if I feel like that, and I said no, because I don't think that's ever an issue I had to deal with, like that insecurity specifically. But then after that, she was saying how like maybe it's because like, you know, in the past her mom didn't make her feel like she was good enough, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then so she's like always compare herself constantly, and I'm like, oh, but is it really fair though to like put this on your new boyfriend, because he isn't doing this to hurt you, kind of thing. But I think it's something subconsciously we don't really know they were projecting sometimes. Yeah. It's just like we are like blaming the new people that we let into our lives, and then we are like, oh shit, now what do we do, kind of thing, when we finally like realize why it's happening. So like that's something we realize, that like a lot of people tend to project stuff because they don't really heal from the past, and that's why like there's like toxic relationships and stuff like that.
And it's so insidious, it's so subconscious, like we don't even realize that we are doing it, we don't even realize we are projecting, and all we see is like that person's a threat, that person's doing this to me.
It's quite scary when you think about it, but also like it helps to heal also, like I think the people listening, like, it can seem very, like, unrealistic sometimes that you can be whole again. Because I think when people feel broken, like, I also feel broken. Like, sometimes it's kind of like I feel like for me to be whole, I need to be, like, in a parallel universe kind of thing. But like, I think it's very nice to hear, like, stories of people being like, oh, I actually, like, grew through this experience, or, like, it's possible for you to, like, overcome this. Like, it's possible for you to not always have, like trust issues, abandonment issues, or whatever issues that you are like dealing with, insecurities or whatever. And there's different avenues now, like you mentioned, like people are actually being more open about mental health, being more open about lots of different areas of wellness and everything. And we have like more opportunities to like grow, to speak to people, to communicate. So like at least to the people listening, like that maybe can help, because it's like maybe hearing that there's possibility, like hope or something.
Yeah, and I think I'll just add on to that. I think the journey is never ending. Like, you know, like somebody always, like, I remember somebody asked me this, like, do I believe that somebody can be fully healed? I think it depends on the definition of what fully healed actually means. Fully whole, I think we can feel whole, right? We can, but there will always be,
There's always something.
Life is like ups and downs, right? There will always be triggers that will let us go, oh shit, and we lapse into that back, right?
Yeah.
But I think what's most important is, do you know how to regulate yourself? Do you know how to center yourself?
Do you know how to
come back when you're dysregulated? That's the most important thing, because a lot of people stay in that dysregulation. And like, I think one of the measures that I look at if I know that people are progressing or healing on their journey, right, is number one, the frequency of your triggers. If they start to realize that what used to trigger them doesn't trigger them as frequently anymore, I think that's a huge sign. Number two, extend, right? Like if I like I reacted in a very overblown manner in the past, but now I like, okay, like this is what I'm feeling, I can acknowledge it, I can deal with it, I can process it. I think that's part of their journey as well. And I think the last one also is how fast you come back, like how fast you regulate. So I think these are three key things. Like if I look at my clients, like, and I not measure, but in a way like I track their progress, right, I think it's signs that you know you're on the right track.
In a sense, it's a lot of validation, would you say? Like self-validation especially,
for sure.
Would you have like any like advice on like how people can like get there to like self-validate themselves? Because I think the normal for most people is to be like, I don't want to feel this, or like it's better to ignore kind of thing?
Very good question. I think whenever I ask this question, I think I always ask back, what's the real cause here? What's the real cause of you not facing yourself or your pain or your trauma? Because most of the times, like, what is it that you are truly are looking for, right? It's needing to go through that shadow that you've been, you know, like repressing all this while. Yeah, so we talk about, like, you know, trust issues, right? At the heart of trust issues, what you want is intimacy. You want connection.
Yeah.
How are you going to get there if you don't trust?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the real cause. And when you project your trust issues, you are creating more reasons for yourself not to trust because you're pushing them away, and nobody likes to be pushed away all the time and they'll leave. And then that confirms, oh shit, like, this person can't be trusted to stay. It just reaffirms your belief that you're holding onto yourself.
Also, like, another thing that I got, like, some questions on is about, like, how... Like, let's say someone is really down, right? Like, for example, trigger warning, like, let's say the person's, like, suicidal or something. For them to, like, go down and then go up again, then if they go down again, right, like, how do they, like, kind of, like, believe that, like, things will one day regulate when, like, all they have ever known is the super lows and the super highs and then back to the super lows kind of thing?
I think, again, everybody's different. It really depends on the person that I'm working with, right? But I think number one, right, they need to be connected to a possibility, or hope that there's something beyond that. And I think deep down they know. It's just that they are being eclipsed by their current, like, circumstances or situation. So I think the first thing that I usually like to do is I need to acknowledge what is it that they're feeling right now, right? I need to hold that space for them and say, okay, like, this is shit. Like, you are actually going through shit and I can understand why you're feeling this way, right? And then the next thing I need to guide their thinking is to help them to see a way out of it. Right. Once they are connected to that possibility, that's where I can start to work to bridge that gap.
Like a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, in a way. So that they know, like, this is just a period, a phase, and there's a possibility of enriching, like, coming out of that.
Yeah. So usually your parts work, sometimes there's more than one session, right? Like, it won't just be like one.
Depends on how much needs to be unpacked. It can be very fast, it can be one session. Like, literally, I have clients who, like, they've been through therapy for 2-3 years, but in just one session or two sessions with me, they got what they need. Okay, so the beautiful thing about parts work, or why I feel most drawn to it, is because at the end of the day, right, I'm not saying anything. I'm just facilitating the conversations you're having within yourself. And you are speaking to yourself. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to a therapist. You're not getting the validation from externally. You're doing it for yourself. That is what you've always been searching for externally all this while, right? And that now you're giving it to yourself. That's the beautiful thing about parts work.
So, thank you so much for sharing, like, all the advice, everything, like, also explaining more on, like, what you do and, like, how it works, and, like, talking about, like, how, you know, the first steps that people can take, and, like, acknowledging yourself, validation, everything. It's always also a continuous journey. I hope you guys listening, that this episode kind of helped in any way, or even if it's just something new to you and, like, you found it interesting. I hope that you enjoyed the episode. If you're interested in, like, reaching out to Jeremy, you can check him out on Instagram at sacred_Saturn. It will also be in the caption. And if there's any questions that you guys still have, whether it's about psychological astrology, parts work, the purpose activation, or, like, more questions about trauma and how it can affect you, or, like, self-validation or whatever, feel free to drop me a DM at seriouslyofficial on Instagram, and I'll try my best to answer your questions, or, like, can direct you to Jeremy to try to get more qualified advice. If you guys are interested in this kind of episodes, also just let me know if you want more, like, topics on, like, mental health, mental wellness, all that kind of stuff. Astrology, again, if you want more stuff that's, like, spiritual, then just let me know. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on. And I hope you guys listening have a good week, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.